This webcast is made possible by the listener members of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support. Steinway & Sons is a proud sponsor of the ASCAP Deems Taylor Virgil Thompson broadcast award-winning program Between the Keys, featuring Jed Distler. More information about Steinway & Sons, makers of handcrafted pianos since 1853, is available at www.steinway.com. And hello again. This is Jed Distler, artist in residence for the Classical Network. I welcome you to Between the Keys. This month, I have been devoting all of my programs to exploring Beethoven's last five piano sonatas, numbers 28 through 32. And on this fourth of five programs, the featured work is going to be his piano sonata number 31 in A-flat major, opus 110. We're going to get to that in a while, but I'd like to start off with a piece that Beethoven wrote in 1814, his Polonaise in C major. He wrote this at a time when the Polonaise was becoming a popular dance among European nobility, and I have a feeling that Beethoven was happy to cash in on this latest trend. It's a delightful piece in every way, especially in this performance that I'm going to share with you now with the pianist Emmanuel Ax.
Thank you.
The Polonaise in C major, opus 89 by Beethoven, performed by Emmanuel Ax, who, by the way, is going to be my guest on Between the Keys in just a few weeks. Now, here is a Beethoven piece that's completely different. I think it's a work that represents the more volatile, impulsive side of Beethoven's personality. It's a work I featured before on this program, the Fantasy Opus 77. Some scholars, I think, have suggested that this is a written-out improvisation of sorts. After all, Beethoven was famous for his improvisations. He was really like the Charlie Parker of his day. And this performance I'm going to play for you was recorded in 1952 by Edwin Fischer, wonderful pianist. And I think this performance is definitely improvisatory in its nature, and it's so full of passion. I really love it. I hope you do too. Thank you. Beethoven's Fantasy, Opus 77, with Edwin Fischer at the piano. That's a recording from 1952. I wanted to contrast Beethoven's Opus 110 Sonata that we are featuring on this program with one of Beethoven's earlier sonatas. So at first I picked his Sonata number 9, Opus 14, number 1, in E major. And then, as I was listening to a piano recording, I remembered that Beethoven had made an arrangement of this very sonata for string quartet, transposing it up a half step. And I thought, you know, it might make a nice change of pace to feature strings rather than piano for a change. So I thought I would share with you a recording of Beethoven's own string quartet arrangement of his piano sonata number 9, opus 14, number 1. It's in three movements, and we will hear it performed by the Smetana Quartet. Thank you. Beethoven's Piano Sonata Opus 14 Number 1, arranged by the composer for string quartet, and we heard it performed by the Smetana Quartet. That's a work in three movements. Let me remind you that you are listening to Between the Keys, and my name is Jed Distler, artist in residence for the Classical Network. Let's turn now to our featured work this week, the Piano Sonata No. 31 of Beethoven in A-flat major, Opus 110. The first movement of this sonata creates a peaceful, even a placid kind of mood, yet with plenty of intricate passage work that requires tremendous control on a pianist's part. The scherzo is the second movement. It has a tempo indication, allegro molto. And it's a study in syncopated rhythms. It's full of unexpected phrase groupings and accents that keep the listener guessing and kind of off balance. However, it's the third movement that really takes you on a journey here. It opens with a kind of recitative that leads into a melodic lament. And this lament quietly slips into a fugue that seems to start almost out of nowhere. Yet, this fugue builds and builds and builds, only to suddenly return to the lament that we heard earlier. Yet, the lament is more embellished this time around. It builds to a big crescendo on a single repeated chord. Which leads back into the fugue, but this time the fugue's theme is heard upside down, and the fugue builds now without any interruption at all, and it presses on ahead to one of the most uplifting conclusions and fulfilling conclusions that I know in any music, not just piano music. There so many superb recordings of this sonata that it took me a while to decide which one I was going to play on this program. And in fact, I posted something on Facebook asking my friends and colleagues for advice. And then I remember just how much I liked this recent recording by Angela Hewitt, who is a former Between the Keys guest. And this is a performance that has a sense of breadth and spontaneity about it, yet it's also very precise in terms of detail. And I think her intelligent scaling of dynamics and really well-unified and carefully thought-out tempos made an impression. And the finale's contrapuntal writing conveys an unusually singing, vocally oriented distinction and kind of a sense of air in between the notes. I think Probably Angela Hewitt's expertise playing Bach has a lot to do with it. Anyway, this performance for me reveals more and more every time I hear it, and I'd like to share it with you now. The Piano Sonata number 31 in A flat major, opus 110, by Beethoven, with pianist Angela Hewitt.
Thank you. Thank you.
We just heard the Piano Sonata number 31 in A flat major, opus 110, by Beethoven. The pianist was Angela Hewitt. We will conclude our exploration of Beethoven's last five piano sonatas next week at this time with the sonata number 32 in C minor, opus 111, here on Between the Keys, which is an exclusive production of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. I'm Jed Disler, artist in residence for the Classical Network. And thank you so much for joining me this past hour. Until next time, stay well, and please be kind.